The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 43rd verse. Jesus said, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You know, it's been a heavy couple weeks with what happened in Texas, what happened in Buffalo the week before. There's a lot on our hearts. And sometimes we wonder, does evil have the last word? No, it does not. Evil does not have the last word. God will have the last word. And let that comfort you in these, with the memory of the events that have happened. And of course, in a good way, we're in a Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow is the day that we honor those who gave their lives for this country, in the service of this country, wearing uniforms of this country. We honor that, remember it today, remember it tomorrow, and honestly, remember it every day. As the sun goes down and as the sun rises, think of those who gave their lives that we may be sitting here worshiping freely as we want. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I was in seminary, sometimes it feels like a long time ago. I think about it and it was a long time ago. I'm getting old. But I'm comforted by the fact that so are you. So that's okay. Anyway, when I was in seminary, I had a couple of professors, both of whom I liked, both of whom I argued with frequently, but who would give me books inscribed to me with a message. And they would end with en Christo. En Christo, Greek, for in Christ. And then, of course, they'd sign their name. But that en Christo, in Greek, the in Christ, had such a meaning for me, as I'm sure it does for you. In Christ. Christ in me. He is the branch. We are the vines. We abide in him, and he abides in us. To be in Christ is to be saved. To be in Christ is to have a relationship with Christ, with our Savior, me in Christ, you in Christ, us in Christ, Christ in us, and we are together in Christ. And the benefits, the fruit of salvation, follow. Encouragement in and from love, not romantic love. Romantic love is wonderful, and I still have it for that girl sitting over by the piano. But you know, that's not the kind of love I'm talking about now. It's another Greek word that you've heard before, agape. Agape love and sharing, fellowship. We have fellowship together. We have fellowship with Christ. We have fellowship in the Spirit and from the Spirit. And in spite of the events of the last couple weeks, we derive consolation from love, from compassion, from sympathy, from tenderness, all of which we show toward each other and for others. Not just words, but actions. Sometimes the action might be sitting beside somebody, a hand on their hand, an arm on the shoulder, whatever it happens to be, a ministry of presence, and doing. And sometimes we even use words. I'm good at that, using words. I'm going to use a lot of them because Scott really wanted me to do a long sermon. You know, and I do my best to fulfill his wishes. Blame him next week. You know, we are disciples. And as disciples, we are to produce good fruit. Good fruit out of the treasure of our hearts, as we read in the Gospel of Luke. Remember a moment ago I said a ministry of presence and doing, sometimes speaking. The fact of the matter is, my friends, people may listen to what we say, but they certainly, absolutely listen to what we're doing. The words of our lips are the products of our hearts. Our actions follow. They are products of our heart. From the good in the heart, from the treasure in your heart, the treasure which is Christ, come fruits. Fruits for the benefit of others. And of course, we are in Christ. And I've been in this congregation on and off for a long time. Not as long as some people I can name, but a long time nonetheless. And I've seen moments where we've been very unhappy with each other over whatever it happens to be. But I've also seen a vast number more, many more moments where we are in unity together, even if we have disagreed. We are still in unity because we are in Christ. And even when we have disagreed, it's been pretty civil. But if we're walking with Christ, then we're walking with each other. We're walking with other Christians, not only in this congregation, but around the world. And quite honestly, brothers and sisters, your relationships with others, with your fellows, are not a bad indication of your relationship with Christ. Think about that for a moment. The relationship you have with one another is an indication of your relationship with Christ. Christian love, agape, should keep us in unity. Our love for one another is an unconquerable goodwill. It's never bitter. It sees the good in others at all times. Even when we're not in full agreement, it still sees the good in others. And it seeks the good of others at all times, even when we're not in agreement. I know you always agree with me. I can't imagine a time when you wouldn't. But even if you do, I still want what's best for you. And really, that's not to be in agreement with me. I'm just kidding about that. You know, it's not just loving those who love us or loving those who are lovable, but loving those whom we may hate, who we may have a real dislike for. We love them anyway, perhaps in spite of ourselves. The Holy Spirit keeps us from disunity. We're bound to one another in a life of love. We're meant to be in fellowship with one another. This is what God intended, my friends. We are to be in fellowship with one another. And let the same mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus. Lay aside discord, personal ambition, ambition at the expense of others. Get rid of it. Get rid of the desire for prestige, for prominence. Lay aside your pride. Let your hearts flow with a humble and selfless desire to serve, to love, as did Christ. When Paul invites his Philippian friends to reproduce among themselves the mind which was in Christ Jesus, who took the form of a slave, we may think of him as, according to Luke, said to his disciples at the Last Supper, "I am among you as your servant." And at the same occasion, washed the feet of his disciples, including the one who was to betray him, knowing full well it was going to happen. Jesus, who was with God in the beginning, took flesh. He became one of us, and he became as a slave. And here, my friends, is a mystery. It's the mystery of love so great that honestly we can't fully understand it, but we can adore it and we can experience it. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death on a cross. He didn't exalt himself, but he died in the most excruciating form of execution that was in practice at that time. He did it God's way, and God has highly exalted him. And at his name, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Jesus won our hearts with a love that we can't resist. He has died for us, brothers and sisters. He died for us. And I know you know that. And I suspect you feel as I do. My heart is melted. Resistance is broken. And all I can think of is that hymn that we occasionally sing, love so exalted, so amazing, so divine, demand my life, my soul, my all. I want to share with you something that Soren Kierkegaard wrote. I'm a fan of his. He wrote, "Behold where he stands, God, there. Do you not see him? He is God, and yet he has not a resting place for his head. He dares not lean on any man, lest he cause him to be offended. He is God, and yet he picks his step more carefully than if angels guided them, not to prevent his foot from stumbling against a stone, but lest he trample human beings in the dust, in that they are offended in him. He is God, and yet his eye surveys mankind with anxious care, for the tender shoots of an individual life may be crushed as easily as a blade of grass. How wonderful a life, all sorrow and all love. This is God as he stands upon the earth, like unto the humblest by the power of his love, to sustain the heavens and the earth by the fiat of his omnipotent word, so that if this word were withdrawn for any fraction of a second, the universe would be plunged into chaos. How light a task that must be compared with bearing the burden that mankind may take offense when one has been so constrained by love to become its savior. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Christ, the Kyrios, the Lord of all, King of kings. Jesus Christ is Lord. And we're told, work out your own salvation. And here's the thing to consider. We are saved by faith. We know that. Salvation is of God. We know that. And God is at work in us. And he continues to work in us the desire to be saved. Every single day, I am raised by the power of my baptism into as a new person. Every single day, Christ continually calls to me, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. But he continues to call, and he continues to call you as well, always, never ceasing. We have that desire to be saved, and that comes from God. And we are to do his good pleasure, my friends. Not works righteousness, not to earn our salvation. We know that. We're saved. But we do these things to continue to serve and to please God by serving others. And in the same way, we grow and develop spiritually as disciples. You know, my friends, there are times when we do get offended by Jesus, or we seem to, and by his words especially, because we know we're saved by grace through faith, not as a result of anything we can do. We know this. So isn't that enough? What do you mean you want me to do more? Jesus, I'm saved. I believe in you. That should be sufficient, right? Please say that it is. Well, what's the answer? Yes, I know I'm saved. And that knowledge makes me want to serve God. It makes me want to serve God by serving others, by serving you, by loving you, even if you're unlovable. Saved by faith, and we'll do our best, our level best, to live out the words and the commands of Jesus as best we can, to love God, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love one another as Jesus has loved us, so that by doing this, the world may see that we are his disciples. And it's a positive statement, a statement of love, a statement of humble service. Not pride, not ambition, none of those things. We do it for the glory of God. We do our best as disciples to emulate Jesus, to have his mind and his way of life, humbly serving, humbly living. Again, not seeking after power, prestige, money, lording it over others. We're not to live a prideful life, but a humble life. Dear friends, we're to worship God and God alone. Not money, not power, not guns, not our place in society. We are to worship God. There is no other. There can be no other. We are to worship every day, every moment, every breath. Amen.